The scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 30. John, chapter 3, verse 30. And it reads, "He must increase, but I must decrease."
I can't help but to fall in love with the passage that was read in our hearing. And the reason why is because of what it teaches, what it reminds us of as God's people. It reminds us that Jesus Christ must increase. He must be one that is exalted in our lives. He's one that we take seriously. He's one that we strive to imitate. The more that I was thinking about John's attitude toward Jesus, the more I fell in love with John, because he understood the one in whom he stood by. He understood the one in whom he was hearing. And no wonder he rejoiced in the words that Jesus spoke. And so it caused me to ponder and think this week as it relates to John's relationship with Jesus, and how he truly stood by his friend. There's something about a friend that stands by you. There's something about a brother or sister that stands by you. John stood by his friend, understood his position, understood his requirement, and fulfilled it. The more I was considering that, it made me think about the evidences that John received. The teachings of Christ, as Jesus would take the spiritual baton, if you will, and continue to preach the same message that John was preaching: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached the same message that John preached. And he preached that for the remission of sins. And so when we think about the lesson on last week, and we kind of come on the curtails of that particular lesson, I want us to talk about practical ways of decreasing. Because when we think about John 3, especially verse 32 and verse number 33, if you will, turn your Bibles there, if you're not already there, we see something that's very interesting, where the Bible says, "And what he has seen," John speaking, "and heard, that he testifies," meaning he puts out as evidence, if you will. "And no one receives his testimony," his witness, his evidence. "He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true," literally in the original, that God is telling the truth. Jesus came to tell the truth of the Father. And the very fact that Jesus gave this evidence demonstrated that God himself tells the truth. When we consider this, we know that God is truthful. And to reject the words of God is to actually do oneself spiritual harm. If you will, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, as we continue in some of these introductory thoughts, the religious leaders of this particular time, in verse number 28 through verse number 30, this was exactly what they did, Brother Royce. They rejected the teachings of John, thus rejected the authority of God in their lives. For I say to you, Jesus speaking in verse number 28 of Luke chapter 7, among those born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors, justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. In other words, them justifying God, they were testifying that God is telling the truth. But notice the next verse. Notice, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. They actually did themselves harm, not doing what God said. And friends, the very fact that Jesus came to declare the words of God, he would tell the religious leaders of his day again in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. The Old Testament scriptures gave evidence of Jesus, gave evidence of his life, the work that he would do, the death that he would endure. Praise be to God, the resurrection, that he will be raised from the dead. And you can go from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse number 15, to the time in which Jesus was born of a virgin, and you have all of those prophecies. And then Jesus would go even further in Luke 24, and we don't have time for this. And he went from Moses and the prophets all the way to the time in which he was speaking to those on the road to Emmaus, and he said, these scriptures, they testify of me. They speak of me. No wonder John in his humility would say, he must increase, I must decrease. Here you have the law of Moses, the system that was given to the children of Israel on Mount Horeb. As God is now speaking to his people, give them law in order for them to go into what is known as the promised land, the land of Canaan, so they can live out their lives. So the tribe of Judah could bring in Jesus the Christ, the lion out of the tribe of Judah. And he did that in order to bring men to Christ. And so here you got this law of Moses, this system of Moses, if you will. Stay with me. And here, Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, as it prophesies of one to come. Isaiah 40 and verse number 3, prophesying of one to come. Who is that? John the Baptist. He would be that voice crying in the wilderness, preaching the word in the wilderness. And so from Moses to John, Luke 16, 18, we have this great teaching. And then here comes John on the scene, and he's prepping the work for Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, if you will. And the next thing you know, we find Jesus coming, and he's being baptized of John. Hold on, he heeded the baptism of John. Well, if he heeded the baptism of John, he decreased himself and he heeded the baptism of John, justifying God, why shouldn't the Pharisees and the lawyers have done the same? Hold on. Since Jesus is the one that we're listening to now, not Moses, Jesus is the one we're listening to now, not John, Jesus is the one we're listening to, not Moses and the prophets, friends, we ought to listen to him. And so if he commands anything because he came forth from God himself, we ought to say we decrease. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And so when a man or a woman elevates themselves above the teachings of God, above the teachings of Jesus, then they declare God, now watch this, a liar. They declare him as one not knowing the truth. They declare him as one not speaking truth. They declare him as a liar himself. I can prove that. So in 1 John chapter 5, if you will, turn your Bibles there. All of this is prepping us because, friends, we ourselves must decrease as well as the people of God, as members of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. In 1 John 5 and verse number 9 and 10, Notice what the Bible says. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. Hold on. When we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then we don't believe the testimony of God. We're actually saying that God himself is not a truth teller, that God himself is not a truth revealer. But drop down to verse 20 and 21. In verse 20 and 21, here we have something else said. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, in order that we may know him who is true. Hold on, who is true? God is not a figment of our imagination. Even though the world around us think that there is no God in heaven, as the psalmist would say in Psalm 14 and verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They act as if God does not exist. They act as if God is not going to judge them for their wrongdoing. God is not a figment of our imagination. How do you view the creation and think that there is no creator? The very fact that we see all of the things around us should humble us to say, let me find out who this creator is. And even though, Brother Royce, the creation cannot tell me how to be saved, it does tell me there is a creator. The very fact that I can look at the human body in Psalm 139, verses 11 and following, and I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So God is not only a truth revealer, God himself is true. God himself is real. And friends, this ought to give us great encouragement as the people of God. Now notice what he says in the rest of the verse. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. No wonder he says, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Why would he say that? Because according to 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 4, the Bible teaches us, Brother Dietrich, that an idol is nothing. There's no such thing as an idol. Idols are fake. Idols are not real. For this reason, we have to believe in the one true living God. No wonder John says he must increase, I must decrease. No wonder John would bow down to Jesus, if you will, saying that I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. And so I said all of that to say this. How much more evidence does God have to give us for us to know that he is, number one, true, that number two, he is a truth revealer, number three, that he sent his Son, number four, that he's offering us eternal life, and the best life here on earth, John 10 and verse 10. And so I want us to talk about some practical ways to decrease. So some practical ways to, if I can say it this way, humble ourselves. Number one. Go to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, the first way that we can decrease, Sister Evelyn, just take Jesus at his word. Let's just take God at his word. Let's just believe that he tells us the truth. He's not only the truth, but he's a truth revealer. Notice Peter's attitude toward Jesus. Verse 1. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesareth and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Wow. What if Simon Peter would have said, "I'm a fisherman. Brother Glenn, I do this for a living. I know my craft. You're not going to tell me to launch out and cast it out to the right for a catch. I'm not going to do it. I know what I'm doing." But no, sir, no, ma'am, that's not what he did. He decreased. He humbled himself. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word." We need more of that in the church. Oh, we need more of that in the home. We need more of that in our own minds. We need more of that when it comes to rearing our children, how we love our spouses, how we take care of one another as brethren, how we deal with the world. I'm speaking more to myself than I am to anybody. Because sometimes, even I don't have the "nevertheless at your word" mentality. Friends, we have to have that. We have to have the mentality, "Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I'm going to do this." Why? Because number one, you're a truth teller, you're a truth revealer, and you're truth yourself. Jesus said, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Friends, here we understand that Jesus understood truth. He came forth from the one who is true. And so with that being said, we ought to be teaching our children. We ought to be reminding ourselves. Let's just take God at his word. He tells the truth. But let me say what happens sometimes. Sometimes I'm like the Pharisees and the tax collectors. I reject the wisdom of God against myself. And Brother Royce, that's not healthy. I believe many of our mental breakdowns is because we have long practice of doing our own will instead of God's. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt. Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man to walk that directs his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," Psalm 37. The more I think about this, my mental stability hinges on doing what God says. It hinges on that. And so we take Jesus at his word. In what ways? Just put these in your notes. Don't have time to really delve into them, but I will mention them. We ought to take Jesus at his word as loving God, or with loving God with everything that we have. Matthew 23, verses 37 through verse 39. What does that mean? I need to love God with my heart, my soul, and my mind. In other words, I need to love God with everything that I have. But Brother Mike, what happens when I wake up tired or I'm frustrated or people get under my last nerve? What? Then you dig deep. You just dig deep and you realize that you can do it. Been having Liam with us this week and he will say, I can't. I said, no, in G-Paul house, we say, I can. You know, sometimes as Christians, we say, I can't. When the Bible demonstrates we can do all things through Christ who empowers us. God is sitting there saying, you can do this. You can make it. You can come home to me. I just need you to follow my son. I need you to just be thinking about what my son does. I need you to familiarize yourself with me and my son. Go to his word and think about the scriptures and think about the word of God and allow it to exalt you. Love God with everything that you have. If we're truly honest, we struggle there. That's why I started there. We struggle with loving God with everything that we have. But I know we can because God says we can. And the very fact that God says we can. But if we tell ourselves we can't, friends, we won't. So at G. Paul's house, we don't say I can't. We say I can. And you know what that little joker does? I can't, G-Paul, I can't. I said, I can. I can. Yeah, that's right. And I was just going to keep on saying it until he says, I can. I can. Yeah. And I just want to see him when he's 15 and 20. I can. I'm like, you can. And I'm going to push you along the way. Hold on. Isn't that what our Father does with us? I can. I can think right. I can live right. I can get married and not shack up. I can treat my spouse right. I can treat the brethren right. I can pray for my government. I can pray for myself. I can do all things. It all depends on what you tell yourself. So, it's a practical way that we need to decrease. We ought to be able to love God with everything that we have. We need to control our language. Come back tonight. Invite a friend. We're going to be talking about our language tonight. I probably just ran them all off, Royce. We're going to talk about language. We're not going to be talking about saying cuss words only. What are you using your language for? Friends, the Bible demonstrates to us in Matthew 12, 34 through verse number 37, that we're going to be judged by our language. We need to control our desires, covetousness. We need to be a people who understand that God wants us to be set apart, sanctified, holy. John 17, 17 through 21. Point two, turn to Matthew 18. We're going to be appointing Brother Randy this morning, so it's more of an abbreviated lesson on this morning. Brother Ryan, I'm going to make words. I'm going to make sure I do that because I can already see him like, I thought this was going to be abbreviated. I know my brother well. Matthew 18, second point. What is another way that we can decrease? Well, we can work as Jesus worked. Mm-hmm. Not only will we take Jesus at his word, but we will work as Jesus worked. Matthew 18, starting at verse number 1, ending at verse number 5, notice what the Bible communicates. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's a great question. It's a great question. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Talking about entering into the church. Entering to that territory where Jesus Christ is king. Having the mind of the king. The eternal principles of the king. This is a kingdom that is heaven thought, if you will. Therefore, whenever or whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Humility. When we consider practical ways of decreasing, friends, we need to begin with humility. When we think about one of the works of Jesus, he was so humble. And Brother Royce brought this out last week as he was talking about Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through verse number 11, how Jesus, he humbled himself. He didn't count being in the spiritual realm as something to grasp. He was willing to come down and save mankind, putting on flesh. He did that. Well, it's the same for us, that if we're going to enter into the church and remain in the church, that we need to humble ourselves and have the mindset of a child that's willing to accept correction, willing to be taught, willing to be loved, if you will. Oh, I need to say that again. Willing to be loved. We have developed a mindset in our nation that people, when they're loved, they run from it. Well, what do you mean? Hugging folk? Oh, yeah, that's part of it. But Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. If you love me, keep my commandments. You can tell when you love someone, you want to teach them. You want to embrace them. You want to help them. And that requires humility. So we need to decrease ourselves by being sincerely humble and working for God. In Acts 10 and verse 38, Jesus was humble. He went about doing the work of God. He was inspired to do that, anointed of the Spirit, if you will. And as he was doing that, he was healing all manners of those who were sick. We need to be humble and go out and do the work. We need to go out and be an influence for people. Look for opportunities to do good. Yesterday, I was sitting in Starbucks, was there for a couple hours, and it was good to just sit there and think. And then one of the workers came, Brother Leon. Where's Leon? Did he leave? There he is. Brother Nancy came up to me, and we started chatting. Leon said, "Do you know Nancy?" "Yeah, I know Nancy. She's one of the managers there." We had a nice little Bible study. That's interesting. You know, we ought to put ourselves in positions where people are seeing us demonstrating Christianity, whether it's at work, perhaps when you're out and about with your kids' activities, perhaps you are in the grocery store, perhaps you work alongside of someone. People ought to be able to see your humility. They know you're a member of the Lord's church. They know you're part of the kingdom of heaven. They understand that you do not operate on your own conditions. We need more humility in the Lord's church. We need more people depending upon Jesus, depending upon his word, depending upon him. So, what should we be doing? We should be looking for opportunities to demonstrate respect towards God. And it will depend upon our humilities. He brings up this child. Why did he bring up this child? Because children are humble. And they don't mind. If you teach them right, they don't mind being corrected. It takes a little time. Got to be patient. And so what can we learn from this? We can learn to teach our families the value of just thinking properly. Notice Romans 12 real quick and look at verse number 3. I want to show you this. Of course, we always look at verse number 1 and 2 where Paul is begging the brethren there not to be conformed to this world. But look at verse number 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me," talking about his work of an apostle, his apostleship, "to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," meaning be humble, "as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." In other words, God desires for us to think properly, which means he desires for us to think humbly. And God is willing to esteem those who debase themselves, humble themselves. Don't exalt yourself. Be a person that don't mind esteeming the brethren. And that's required when you're dealing with your little ones. There's some things that we're just learning. All of us are learning. Perhaps we can learn more about esteeming others better than self. Philippians 2, the first 4 verses. How, Brother Mike? These are a few things that I have. Making time for one another. Listening to one another. Sometimes brethren don't really want you to say much. They just need you to listen to them. Sometimes they're not wanting you to analyze their issue and their problem. They just need to be able to speak it out. Humility puts me in a position where I'm not so on the go sometimes that I can't stop and listen to my brother or my sister. And that'll be enough. And you haven't even offered any of advice. You haven't corrected, reproved, nor rebuked. You're just a listening ear. Now they may say, "Do you have any thoughts? Do you have any questions? Do you have any comments?" Well, I have a few, but now they opened it up to you. Just a listening ear, a helping hand, helping them think through the scriptures, simply encouraging, fellowshipping with one another. Here it is again, I have in my notes, loving each other. Jesus would say this. I couldn't believe he said this, but he said it. "The world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another." You know what? I notice that's what people are looking for. Looking for people who's just going to simply love them. Well, what does that look like? Teaching them the truth, living the right life in front of them, not being hypocritical, making sure that you come with the word of God, familiarizing yourself with God and with his people and with the word of God. Humbling, very humbling. So look at Luke 14, look at verse number 11. Friends, the more I was considering, I was asking myself, well, is there any reward to this? We love reward systems. We love to know that we're going to get something out of the deal. In Luke 14, in verse number 11, notice what the Bible here says. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What's the reward? God will exalt us. There's something to it. I know sometimes we think that we're getting the short end of the stick as Christians. We're following Christ, so we know we're going to get all of the terror that comes with it. Bearing our burdens and bearing the cross of Christ, and so we're going to receive those stigmas. We understand that. But there's a reward. What is the reward? We're going to hear well done. When it's all said and done, we're going to hear that. And so the true mentality is to embrace and to show one another humility. Again, when we think about Acts 10 and verse number 38 in this passage, it demonstrates to us that we're truly supposed to be going out helping one another, helping our fellow man, praying for those who are in authority. Hopefully we can have a peaceful life. And so here's the point. We see Jesus working, and this should motivate us to do the same. So you notice, I wasn't talking about evangelism and things of that nature. Benevolence, wasn't talking about that. Wasn't talking about edification per se. Really talking about our mentality. Can I humble myself where I have talent and help the cause of Christ? Absolutely, I can. I can. And so I don't have to have the mentality, well, I don't have nothing to do in the church. There's no work for me to do. There's always something for you to do. Now, if you need a little help, we can assist you. But you ought to be in the word of God enough to say, well, I'm good at this. Let me go do that. Let me go do that. Let me go do that. Finally, look at John 8. Some practical ways of just humbling ourselves, decreasing. John said he must increase, I must decrease. We know that John was stepping off the scene. We know that he came preaching out there in the wilderness. This was a man's man. Here comes Jesus, and he's taking the spiritual baton. And Peter took Jesus at his word. Jesus brings a child and say, okay, here, this is the work you ought to be doing, humbling yourself. But lastly, connecting as Jesus connected. Jesus was always connected with heaven. Mark 1:35, Jesus woke up early that morning, went to a far place, solitary place, and Sister Natasha, he prayed. He was always connected with heaven. What do you connect with when you wake up in the morning? Who do you connect with? What's the first thing you check in the morning? Emails, bank account. Do you check in with heaven? How do you check in with heaven? Pray. Thank God for another good night's rest. Perhaps ponder some biblical passages and concepts and ideas. Do you check in with heaven? Do you stay connected? How about with the brethren? There's some brethren that need a little bit more connection than others. There's some brethren that really need you to spend a little bit more time with them than others. There's some brethren, they don't want to spend time with you, and I mean, that's just them. It's not that they're being malicious, they're just not people, persons like that. Okay. But I tell young preachers all the time, you can't follow Jesus and be a good minister without being around people. Because God put on flesh, Brother Ryan, to be a people. To be around people. All types of people. Look at verse 28, 29. Wow. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me, now watch this, is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. There's four things I want us to look at. Number one, Jesus allowed Himself to be taught. It's right there in the scripture. If I'm going to stay connected with God, I have to allow Him to teach me. Which means that I have to familiarize myself with the scriptures. Not with a passage or two. I need to spend some time in the scriptures. And then I need to spend time with His people so we can go backwards and forwards, iron sharpening iron with the scriptures. Fellowshipping with each other and talking with one another. Have you thought about this? Well, what about this? And then going out and practicing and coming back and say, yeah, I tried that, but that didn't work, but I tried this and this did work. Wow. But then, number two, he trusted God enough to speak His words. Same verse, 28. And then number three, we see something. He knew He was connected in verse number 29. Notice what he says. He who sent me is with me. He knew he was connected with his Father. There's days, there are times in life where, as Samson, Brother Dietrich, Samson didn't even know that God departed from him. Sometimes life is like that. You feel all alone. Jesus said, I know He's with me. He sent me, He's with me. Then it made me think about what Jesus said Himself, Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, this is the way that we can truly practice decreasing. We can know that our God, He doesn't leave us. Our Savior, He doesn't leave us. And notice, all of this takes place, and the connection is made firm because of the latter part of verse number 29. He says, I always do those things that please Him. And so it made me ask the question, who am I trying to please? Who is Mike trying to please? Who are we trying to please? Hopefully we're trying to please our God. Hopefully we're trying to please the one in whom we have given our lives to, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Hopefully we're trying to do that. Friends, I want to encourage us to be connected. And so, and I told the elders last night, I really want to, the ladies around here, y'all, we love y'all. Y'all do such a great job staying connected with one another. The men, we need to do better. So I want to start a men's little study group. A couple times a month. We'll see what happens with it. You know why? Because men don't stay connected enough. Hold on, I thought we were the leaders, Brother Royce. I thought we were the heads of the home. I thought we were the leaders in the Lord's church. Oh, we are. And the world around us is always looking for opportunities to connect. Stay connected with these. Just trying to connect. Friends, we need to stay connected not only to our God, but we need to stay connected with one another. That we can truly have communion with our God. That we can stay connected with one another and perhaps even invite some of the community into our studies, and they may be able to see the truth. Friends, we have a lot to do. Will we decrease and allow ourselves to be taught by the Christ? Will we decrease and allow ourselves to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us? Will we humble ourselves, or will we exalt ourselves and say, well, God is not hearing me. God has left me. Or could it be that you just need to humble yourself just a little bit more And then you get in the scriptures and you realize he hasn't gone anywhere. He's right there. Because God is either telling us the truth when he tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you, or he's not telling us the truth. Friends, we will leave him before he leaves us. He's true. He's a truth teller. And he revealed that truth through his son. And we have this truth in this word. We just have to get in it. We have to believe it. And we need to practice it. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to decrease today by having a humble heart to sit down with us and have a study. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, we want to study with you. Why? Because salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in the church. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, for by one spirit you're all baptized into one body. The body, Colossians 1:18, is the church. We want you to be part of it. We want you to be connected to the Christ, connected to the Father, connected to his people. And you do that when you obey this great word. You can do it. You can. I know you can, because God says you can. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing. I love saying that because it is amazing. 2,000 years later, and he's still adding people to his son's church 2,000 years later. It's amazing. Will you obey the gospel? Will you be faithful? Or will you be like some who began to tell themselves, I can't, and they began to exalt themselves above the Christ, above the word, above the God who gave all, and they started doing their own thing. And now they're deceiving themselves into thinking that they're still going to have a place in heaven with God, but they have forsaken the assembling of the saints and left the joy of our Lord. Mm-mm. Maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Maybe you haven't been humble. Let's pray. Let's pray for you. Let's be humble as we stand, Brother Chad, as we sing the Savior's invitation.